You? Is anybody?
There's Molly, folks. That means your friends, the Goldbergs, are here. Brought to you by Does, the new kind of soap for everything in your wash. First, let's drop in on the Dozen family. Well, that flutterhead Cousin Dozen has a job delivering telegrams. She's just finished her first day's work, and Pa Dozen's asking her all about it. Listen.
Who'd you deliver your first telegram to?
Mrs. Donahue. We had the nicest chat about Does.
Does?
Yeah, she didn't know it's a new kind of soap for everything in the wash. I told her Does does work shirts, towels, to her pretty rayon panties.
You were supposed to deliver telegrams.
Well, we only talked about an hour.
An hour?
Well, then I had to take a telegram out to Mrs. Topplewaite's, and on the way I stopped to see Mrs. Blodgett.
Oh.
Poor dear. Found her scrubbing away on her husband's overalls. You know, he gets them terrible dirty in that war plant. So I told her to dust them and stop that hard scrubbing. Why, no soap made can do them better or easier than Does.
What about Mrs. Topplewaite's telegram?
It wasn't important, Pa. I read it.
No.
Yes, it said, Mayor Wilson accepts invitation for weekend. So I just told her maid to dust the linens and towels. Even the mayor would be impressed at how dazzling white Does get them. Ma says it's the whitest white any soap can turn out.
But...
Well, when I got back to the telegraph office, they said they were giving me a blue slip.
That means you're fired.
Does it? Well, I just told them I always wash my nicest slips in Does. It's safer for such delicate colors. And that telegram man said the silliest thing.
What?
He said if he had to choose between me and Does, he'd rather have Does delivering his telegrams. Imagine!
Well, Cousin Dozen does everything, you know. In the wash, anyway. It's the only leading granulated wash day soap to give longer life to colors, plus unsurpassed whiteness and real cleaning power for the dirtiest wartime work clothes. Does more on wash day. Why, ladies, does everything. And now the Goldbergs. In a way, Molly Goldberg has brought up her reserves in an effort to break through to the truth which lies behind the pressure Anne Franklin is putting on David's daughter. Florence, you know, is divorcing her husband, and it's her friend Anne who is encouraging the break. Molly suspects Anne's motives, although we know that there is another woman in the case. Or it's this other woman who caused the split in Florence's marriage. Unable to accomplish anything directly, Molly called on Dr. Cater, Jr., a brilliant young psychiatrist who is home on leave from the Army. Dr. Cater is having dinner with the Goldbergs and Anne. Listen.
Ma, aren't you going to have your dessert?
I am, darling, I am. Rosalie, how is everything? How was the dinner?
Wonderful, Ma.
He's talking to her now?
Everybody's talking to everybody.
I mean, Dr. Cade, is he talking to Anne?
He's making everybody else talk. That's his business. Don't you know, Ma, that a psychiatrist makes everybody else talk? That's how they find out what they want to know.
Oh, please, I told you before, don't mention psychiatrists in psychology. Anne mustn't find out and Florence mustn't know. The Dr. Cade is here to find out what he can find out to save their marriage.
I know. I just hope that Papa doesn't say anything.
Oh, no. He is?
Oh, not yet.
Rosalie, can you very gently tell Dr. Cade I want him here for one moment in my kitchen?
For what, Ma?
I want him. I wish him, please.
All right,
But gently and smartly, please.
Molly,
dear. Yes, Jay?
Coming hither?
I don't know what did you say?
Aren't you coming hither?
I will, dear. I will. I'm just fixing something. If you have no occupation, dear, maybe you will come hither. Dr. Cater? Dr. Cater?
Oh. Yes, Mrs.
Goldberg? Dr. Cater, I didn't have a chance when you came in to say a few words to you privately.
Oh, yes, I think.
I think maybe I have something that you should know, Doctor. It will be very helpful. Just a few words. I found out yesterday. Anne Franklin had a sweetheart also in college. And he was a writer. Books.
Mm.
Books, I think so, yes. And also Eugene, Florence's husband, wanted to be a writer, but he's a businessman. He's not a writer.
Oh.
And they was all in college together. Not Florence. Eugene met Florence after college.
I see.
Doctor, is something visible yet?
Well, nothing to make a speech about.
Well, not to make a speech about.
Mm.
Doctor, if maybe I would see that you and Anne was left alone on the table, I mean, together, maybe.
Yes, that always helps.
Wait, then will you tell Mr. Goldberg I wish him a moment, please, Dr. Cater?
Now, don't be too obvious. Anne is too smart for
well,
that.
I'll try not, Doctor.
More tea for
Anne. More tea.
And some more of that wonderful cake, Mrs. Goldberg.
Yes, Dr. Cater, I'll be directly with the cake.
Well, Ma?
There's no bell yet, Rosalie. Please, be careful. Be careful what you're doing. Don't burn yourself with the tea. Spill sense first. Then the water.
Well, where's the tea, Ma?
Where's the tea? The first time you're making the tea. The tea is standing where it stands all the time on the shelf. Please.
And cake for Dr. Cater.
Yes, all right.
You want me, Molly?
Yes, I want you. So go, Rosalie, please. I'll bring in the cake.
All right.
But don't go with two hands. Go with one hand.
I'm all right, Ma.
What is it, Molly?
I told you, Jake. I told you when the dessert was served, I wanted Dr. Cate and Anne to be on the table alone.
Florence, I think I hear Paul is calling, but the child is calling you.
I don't hear.
Shh. It's all right. Paul is up, and if Florence goes upstairs, she'll have to read a story to him, the visits of something she reads to him every night. So Florence will be not on the table, so there'll be one less on the table. Don't you understand, Jake?
Ma, I don't hear Paul calling Florence.
I heard.
Dr. Cater wants his cake.
I'm coming. So, Jake, darling, go for logs for the fire, yes, dear?
What is this, a kindergarten?
Shh. Rosalie, look where your napkin is.
In my belt.
So come in the belt. Take all the napkins in the belt.
No, I don't know where
the napkin. Please, Dr. Cater, here's your cake, Doctor.
If I knew how to bake, Mrs. Goldberg, I'd ask for the recipe. This is the best cake I've ever eaten.
Thank you.
How are you on baking, Miss Franklin?
Never baked a thing in my life.
Oh. Cook, either?
No.
I can give you the recipe. I have it in here. Your cook can bake it.
Oh, thanks. That'll
be good. Have it someplace. Where's David?
He went upstairs with Florence.
Rosalie, you know where my recipe book is.
No, I don't, Mom.
You had it, Rosalie. You was baking biscuits.
I never made biscuits, Mom.
Then you went on the Girl Scouts picnic?
Don't bother.
Why is it bother? And come help me. Jake, maybe you'll make the fireplace. The logs are in the cellar, dear.
Yes, dear.
Excuse me.
I'll help you with the dishes, Mrs. Goldberg.
Don't bother, Anna. I'm sure Florence will want another cup of coffee and David also. Come, Rosalie. I'll find the recipe and then I'll swallow a cup also. Don't be bashful, Dr. Cate. I have plenty of cake.
Yes,
the visit of us, she has to read to him now.
The visit of us. So, David, darling, if Florence has to read the visit of us, so take up Florence's coffee, and she'll drink and while she's reading to Paul.
Oh, she'll come down in a minute.
Anne, your coffee is cold. I'll make you hot.
Excuse me. I'll get the lard so they can all be hot.
Yes. I'll help you, Jake.
Excuse me.
No,
excuse me. Anything you wish, call me.
Yes, Miss Goldberg. Just a minute, Miss Franklin. Don't abandon me. Where are you going?
I just want to see if my friend's having her hands full.
Oh, with her little boy?
Yes.
Oh, please don't believe me. You're a friend in a million, but be my friend for tonight. Talk to me. I feel very lonely sitting by myself, eating cake.
But the Goldbergs?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're friends, but not to talk to. One just sits about and feels domestic, tranquil, countryfied with them. It's a change from the strenuous emotions of my job.
What is your job?
A military secret. What's yours?
Oh, I'm just a private secretary to Mr. Cronin.
Mrs. Cronin's husband?
Yes.
Oh, that's pleasant. You were vacationing up here with Mrs. Cronin?
Far from it. Florence is waiting to move into her new house. She's divorcing her husband.
Hmm.
What's that supposed to mean?
A cake. Delicious. You know, I'm opposed to divorces.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. A man who wants to divorce one woman to marry another will probably leave the second one twice as soon as he left the first. Gets to be a vicious habit.
Well, that's not the case here. But, I don't agree with you. I mean, generally.
No woman would. Women usually have a very high opinion of their own particular worth and a very low opinion of every other woman in the world when it comes to love.
You sound like an expert.
Oh, I am an expert when it comes to love. I wouldn't trust a man who didn't stick by his first choice. Mrs. Cronin seems like a charming woman.
She is.
Oh, well, then why...
It depends on whom she's supposed to charm. Perhaps her husband doesn't...
Tell me something, Miss Franklin. Or may I call you Anne?
Anne will do.
Just for example, I mean, well, you're single. Would you marry a man, just as an example, a man who couldn't make a success out of his first marriage? Would you? I mean, not generally, particularly.
What?
Yes, you see? You hesitate.
Not at all. If I loved a man, why, of course I...
Oh, you would.
Why not? Is it wrong?
Wrong? No, not wrong. Just foolish. Why, you see this piece of cake?
Yes.
Well, I can't eat it and have it, too.
Naturally.
And the same is true of a woman who marries a divorced man.
How?
She wants a man all for herself, although she knows the best part of his life belongs in someone else's heart.
And if the man wants to forget his first wife?
Merely means that his second wife never will. When she stands at her new husband's side, not two, but three shadows will fall before them. And the middle one will be the woman who will always remain as the visible symbol of the husband's failure in marriage. The worst kind of rival, a ghost.
I don't believe it.
Fortunately, you won't have to test your opinion.
Or what?
Will you have another piece of cake?
Well, Cater is stirring up the muddy waters as best he can. But just what does he hope to learn through casual conversation that others haven't learned through many years of friendship? What is Anne's secret? You know, sometimes it's hard to understand even those who are very close to us. Daisy Desmond's boyfriend, Donald, has discovered that. He said...
I can't understand Daisy. Whenever I talk about getting married, she talks about does. Yesterday she said, Donald, we won't wash dishes in our dream house. We'll give them their daily dozen.
Well, Daisy knows that besides doing everything in the wash, does has everything for dishes, too. Why, this new kind of soap makes suds that stand up till the last dish is done. Cuts grease like 60, yet it's kinder to hands than any other leading granulated wash day soap. Why, does suds stand up so you don't have to keep adding soap? Does cuts grease without hard scouring, too, yet it leaves hands wonderfully smooth. Try does. It has everything for dishes. Now, if your dealer's out of does, he'll have more soon. Meantime, be saving of does. You know, soap contains vital war materials, so don't wash a few dishes. Wait till there's a pan full. See that every bit of does you use does more. Be sure to listen to the next episode of The Goldbergs, written for you by Gertrude Berg. Molly's hopes rise high, and Cater suddenly finds a real clue. This is Clayton Collier speaking and reminding you to do as the dozens do. Let does, the new kind of soap, do everything in your wash.